That's probably the blizzard.
Thank you.
Yeah, for the end of the week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought that said buzzard.
Recording in progress.
Welcome, everyone, to the December 20th Streets and Sidewalks Committee meeting. Nice to see the all three members, along with some of the other council people, the mayor, the vice mayors on the committee, and the finance director. Debbie, could you please call a roll?
Sure. Roberta?
Here.
Grindel?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
All right. To start with, I asked the service director to give us a brief summary of the service department's work in the city over the past year. And he's got all sorts of papers he's providing us, so off you go, Ron.
So to go over some totals real fast, and for the asphalt in 21, we did 67 tons. In 2022, we did 280 tons, which is an increase of 211 tons. And all the batches have been crack sealed. Concrete in 21, we did 9.5 cubic yards. In 22, we did 20 cubic yards, 10.5 yards more. The mulch delivered to the residents in 2021, we delivered 275 loads. This year, we delivered 404 loads, which is an increase of 129 more loads. So for the total mulch delivered, it was 2,000 yards this year. Leaf collection last year was 4,200 yards. This year it was 6,700 yards, about 2,500 yards more this year. Increased efficiency because of the Titans and the routes that we'll talk about here in a second. The sidewalk machine is here. We have trained 2 day shift workers and 2 night shift workers on the operation of this machine. The training was done on December 12th and December 13th. All the sidewalks have been staked for the winter snow removal. Plow trucks have been maintenanced, and all plows and salt boxes are installed except for one tandem awaiting a little part for. Should be here Thursday. These machines, they have been washed and maintained and are being stored indoors at ODOT. These machines in the 40-yard containers have greatly increased the efficiency of the leaf collection. Another 40-yard leaf container and Titan leaf machine have been budgeted for the next year for 23, which will help take our total from 145 yards to 185 yards per round. We'll continue to use the snow and ice route maps that everybody has a copy of, along with the sidewalk maps. These maps help us with the strategic planning by assigning specific roads to each driver. Salt has been loaded into the hoop house at the service garage and at ODOT. Our minimum is 4,400 tons. We have taken delivery of 3,400 tons to date. There's 2,000 tons in the hoop house and 3,000 tons at ODOT, giving us a total of 5,000 tons on hand currently, and 1,000 tons left to order throughout the season. The maps I passed out, one is the primary. We broke everything down into sections and color coordinated them for each area. There are 6 areas, and in the red down the middle are your mains.
See, Bert, he does a nice job with that color coordinating on these maps.
I don't know if that's a shot at me or you.
No, that's a chaos. We're all about color here.
So, and then the other one, the blue one, it's area 5. Each area we broke down into specific areas so we can just hand a guy and say, here, you're in charge of area 5. These are your roads that are dedicated for you. And the third map is the sidewalk locations, where they start and where they stop. We have some new guys, so this is helping the new guys a lot. And it's helping keeping everybody accountable for who's responsible for what roads and where trucks are at all times.
I can't, if you can fill me back in, because I can't remember, what was the total sidewalk mileage?
67 miles of sidewalk.
How many miles of streets we have?
106, 70, 100.
Yeah, we should be updated on the sidewalk down the hillside.
Okay, so it's double the sidewalk.
Yes. See, it stops at Greenwood and everything, and We have it all the way down now to Timber Creek. Creek, yeah.
So Annie needs, when the GIS gets updated, then this.
Yeah, yeah. That one, and even on the first side.
As soon as she gets all the GIS work updated, then we'll print new maps out. Jordan Sweet.
But who repaired the salt bin?
The salt bin?
The one, well, the whatever you call the salt.
Health services, I think, was down there.
At ODOT? Yeah, they put some shingles up there.
ODOT provided the repairs and?
No, tech services.
Tech services did.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions for Ron?
So with the new snowplow machine, are we going to be using the blower attachment or the V, what's?
Right now, the gate, the plan is the V plow, based on the snow that's coming.
I think it'd be, like we talked about before, it'd be a combination to see.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Severity of the snow, the condition of the snow, how wet it is. It's going to be a lot of education.
Well, a lot. Thursday's full rain turning into snow. So I'm anticipating a wet, heavy snow. So I just want to get it moving with the heat balance and the blower.
Oh, I have a question. With the blower part, you know how your typical snow blower at home when you're going through the heavy stuff has a tendency to shoot or jam up? What does the machine, how do we prevent that from?
Driver carries a stick.
Well.
It actually is a stick, yeah.
I don't think that the, if it powers down the machine, I think that's how they traditionally work. If that hydraulics power down the machine.
Okay.
So you can't just blow through something. That's how it works on something that we have.
Okay.
We can back up.
Right.
Raise the machine, tip it forward, shake it a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So it has an auger and an impeller?
It has two augers.
Two augers. Okay. Because the impeller on the regular blowers is the place where the problem is.
Is it a lengthy process to exchange?
Disconnect them?
It's a quick disconnect, so it's faster you can pop.
Hydraulics?
Less than a minute.
Okay.
I'm funny, how big, because I know it's going to be like a flash freeze. It's going to be raining right at about 4 or 5 o'clock, and then it's going to probably drop 20 degrees in temperature in a couple hours. So it really can't pre-treat it because
we can't pre-treat with liquid because it'll wash it away. But at the end of the rainstorm, we're going to pre-treat with salt. So the last hour of rain will help start melting the salt.
So
the snow gets here.
Yeah, that's going to raise brush hour on Friday.
He's well aware of it.
What's that? Ice shower on Friday.
Well, it's good.
Rush hour of malls.
And we've got the blowers for the whackers too?
We have one blower for the whacker, yes. That's hooked up. And one deep plow on the other whacker, yes.
In the business districts, have we ever salted sidewalks?
I don't know how we would. I mean, the Bombardier has an attachment for salt. We didn't get that with it, but it does have one.
I wouldn't imagine it have a large capacity.
It doesn't have, 50 pounds. On rock side, we do have the trucks get closer to the curb and throw a little bit of salt to help.
There's no tree lawn.
Right, we do that.
Are I could go to a hardware store and get a fertilizer, walk behind you, you're offering to do that.
That's a bag at a time though. I mean, this weekend the rain is going to be an issue, the freezing rain.
Yeah, beforehand, yeah.
Yeah, just like last weekend when they closed down 77 there.
Yeah.
And we didn't go up there and help them, so.
But you'll have to do your job Friday, Saturday, but I don't know if you'd have to worry about it to the nth degree, every sidewalk, everything, because you jump to next week and you're talking upper 40s to mid 50s for 2 days. So a lot of it's going to be your weather next week.
We take that into account. Yeah, how much salt you're putting down and how many miles of sidewalk you're following. Absolutely. I agree.
Mother Nature will take care of a lot of it. Once you get through the worst of it this weekend.
Thank you, Ron. And we'll move on. Mr. Engineer.
Thanks.
You're all right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Indiana's around. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I think the cold is more issue, a lot of ones, a lot of holes in the wind.
Yeah.
That's the one that's confused. Okay, you need the mouse?
No, I don't think so. This is a snapshot of, can you maybe pull them in that slide?
Yeah, I'm gonna allow you to do that, because I haven't got an idea. We're gonna talk about turning it on now.
It's less than well, isn't it? So this slide just kind of just showed you what we had cooking over the season and where we're at with the money and the contract dollars. Meadowbrook is substantially complete, 96% has been billed, a little bit of work in the spring to do some sealing and painting of the concrete, the abutments and some of the side of the beams on the deck, but it minor amount of work. It's it'll be done in the spring when the weather turns and before we get in there to rip the road out. That's what we're shooting to do.
They did a beautiful job.
Yeah, it came out nice, right according to schedule and no major hiccups, everything went good. The residents really cooperated and that temporary drive worked real well on Pewanesti Parkway and it was really good. The asphalt contract, you know, we wrapped up here those last few days. We got a lot of work on Brookside done, so 96% of that contract has been substantially complete for 2022. And then CATS, you can see there, as far as percent of the budget to percent of the contract time, it's pretty consistent. We've got about $450,000. That was through the end of November, and they're still working in town, so we do intend to suspend the contract for the winter and then not lose 3 months of downtime so that we can resume in the spring and still catch those months in the next season.
So those prices are locked, yeah.
Correct.
We're good.
And that's before we even would entertain a contract extension for another year. So we do have some latitude.
Is that out of that contract? Is that we're going to take care of Meadowbrook Road then?
Yeah, I'm going to show you some slide that, yep, I can show you some of those dollars. That's where a lot of those dollars still are yet to be performed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Don, actually, maybe an hour before on Meadowbrook, but that was the design build project was the culvert. And
correct.
A lot of time owners will tout like some savings as you can, you know, realize some things with, you know, during the process. Maybe that didn't happen on this. Maybe it doesn't lend itself. But do you think that project delivery created some savings?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. It, you know, the time of not having to have a design engineer design it and then go to bid and bid it so that the sequencing was condensed, a nice short duration so that we were able to get the design done and get, especially with the climate for ordering materials and supply chain issues. It was helpful to get, you know, they kind of had the preliminary design pinned down early. We're able to put the order in for the box beams while the design was still being finalized and wrapped up. So I think that right in and of itself.
Savings is on the sequence.
Yeah, and the timing.
Yeah,
and the delivery time.
Yeah, any monetary savings?
Yeah, so during the bidding, actually, when we had solicited, we had value engineered proposals that were submitted that were able to show some cost savings. Because I think the original numbers, when we were going to rip everything out, both abutments, that was in the, I want to say, over $500,000, I think the cost was. And then Shermer had value engineered it and able to save the westerly. No, I take it back. You saved the easterly, replaced the westerly, and that contract, you know, price came down to $539,000, so we were able to save some money just from the value in the value engineering portion, which traditionally
$439,000?
Yeah, $439,000.
Mm-hmm. Are we able to use that model? Well, that's the first time we've used it.
Yeah.
In any other situations that we can use that same model down the road?
Yeah, we're gonna certainly look for it now and try to be more open to it and see what if there's projects that lend themselves to it, like this one sure did.
Okay.
We definitely will be open more open to it.
Yeah.
Success.
Yeah, I think so.
And now the bridge itself is wider than the existing road. Are we planning on widening the roadway to the width of the new bridge?
Only at the bridge. I think by and large, when we bid it, we were just replacing what was there. Some of the residents were adamant not to widen, to keep its quaint little street. And so I think the intent is 14 to 16. I think the bridge is 16, but the road itself coming in and out is by and large 14 feet. So it's going to be 14,
okay.
But I think at the bridges we'll widen out to match the deck. But the right-of-way is not much wider than that anyway.
Not much wider, that's correct. That whole road is an itself parcel, which is very narrow.
Yeah, so 14 feet, one's coming in and one's coming out, and they just kind of slip down and navigate it themselves.
Go in the driveway.
And we're going to put a little bit of shoulder aggregate, you know, like we did on the T-ball drive, to trade little shoulders, because when we excavate, there's going to be some open slots that we got to backfill anyway. So we'll put some solid aggregate down to help shoulders that give people a little bit extra space to maybe pass.
Well, when we were down, I was down there today, and invariably another car is coming in. We don't realize that somebody's in there, it's like, hello. But yeah, we got past each other on the curve. But it's snug.
Yeah, it's tight. These are just some of the photos I think we shared at the last prior utilities committee, the Westerly abutment getting poured and formed up. And then these were some pre and post photos of the kind of the deck before and after.
How many months does it take to get from beginning to end?
I don't know, say 3 months, 3 or 4 months, wasn't it around April or May? Something like that. It was pretty condensed. Most of it was lead time, waiting for the things to come in. The contractor didn't show up for a month or two after he was awarded the job because it just took time. So that turned out pretty good. And then what's left to do, and we've reached out preliminarily with Mr. Hovater, and initially he had given us permission to conceptually to build a nice turnaround on some of his open space. He owns the two parcels down there. So we are kind of laying this out. I owe him this drawing because he's always asked, look, what's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? We'll probably stake it in the field and maybe have a little bit of back and forth. But ultimately, this is our goal, to create a turnaround that's something that we can get equipment turned around safely down there.
So that is the variant. So the bottom is the two family?
Correct. The one that, yep, north is the two family.
So then you'll base out the areas that's not existing, and then you'll pave the whole thing on the way out, right?
Well, this is a complete reconstruct, so everything's getting tore out. But yeah, we can use some of that aggregate. Well, we got to use that driveway during construction. We think of this street as well. That's why we left the drive there.
Right.
I think we're going to need it to build this side. So, but at any rate, yeah, it'll all get 6 inches of 304 limestone as the base, and then I think this was called to meet a residential roadway spec of 7 inches thick of concrete is what this.
Our garbage trucks go down there, I think. Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? There was a suggestion last year that the small truck.
Yeah,
do that. So we're going to experiment with that also.
So we were hoping to do this road probably not necessarily right out of spring when it's staying wet and damp, and thinking it'd be best for everybody to attack this in the dead of summer when it's nice and hot and dry. So we'll feel our way through it, but this is what CATS has already taken the bid for and awarded it in their concrete contract.
Is there a weight limit on as far as the culvert?
No, the bridge meets the highway standards.
Okay,
just 20 loading, they call it. It's just,
oh, I was thinking about the garbage trucks.
Oh, yeah.
The plow trucks loaded.
Yeah, that'll be designed for that.
Okay.
And these are just pre and post photos of some of the roads we did here recently. Brookside and Stone Road. This was Eastview. We did a little bit of combination of both concrete work with CATS and then asphalt with Rognac. This was a T-ball drive, turned out real nice, 10 inches thick on 6 inches of stone. We had a major undercut here with GeoGrid stabilization fabric, so it's pretty hefty to hold up to all the truck traffic. And then this was some concrete curb and gutter replacements in Dalebrook.
10 inches thick that was, you said?
Yeah, the concrete road, yeah, just because all the, I think Sealig was 9 or 10 inches, that concrete section that Fabrizi did a number of years ago. So yeah, we built it real stout for all the trucks. Here's some concrete replacements in North Renwood as part of the base bid. And this was just kind of circling back then on the bids for Rognac and CATS, showing you where the money was at. But our goal is to use up the $1,080,000, and we pretty much nailed that, even though we were shifting some things around with Rognac's contract. So we do have some alternate bids. So again, this contract is valid through the summer of next year, spring and summer of next year. So we can, you know, I think our maintenance contract's at $425,000 again in asphalt. So we have some flexibility to maybe pull a trigger on an alternate or to go do some other, you know, streets. We can talk about that over the winter. And similarly, here's Katz's numbers are here. These, everything in green was what was made up the award. So we did the T-ball, but we still have to do Meadowbrook. And then up the Rockside and Woods Boulevard sidewalk, west side of that road, there's $300,000 for the sidewalk job that was awarded. So that'll be something that Katz needs to fulfill in the spring. And then again, they've also had $425,000 is additional monies in the 2023 contract for concrete. So we have additional bids. Rockside Road corridor has a couple hundred grand worth of work identified. We did submit a grant to the county. They have a 50-50 preventive maintenance fund. So we submitted, I think, for some full depth repairs on Rockside as part of that grant. So if we get it, we could, it would help pull the trigger then on that. We could get some funding.
Now, do they just give it equally or is it more need based?
I think it's on the routes. You know, I think the higher volume traffic loads. I think they tried to spread it out, so we didn't try to keep the request to a modest level, more so than the prior year. I think prior years we were only asking for 11 or 15 grand for some minor street stripe and crack seal. This time we added a little bit more, but still under 100,000. I think it was $50,000 or $75,000.
That would be some preventative maintenance for something like Rockside. I mean, a big concrete road.
Well, that bid right there, that 197, alternate B. So we identified a lot of primarily joint repairs, catch basin repairs,
okay,
up and down. Not only Rockside itself, but all the commercial roads coming in and out that are in the corridor, Quarry and Rockside Woods and Rockside Place. So we kind of kept that all, gets because it's all on the TIF, correct? So we, so a lot of that is some of those roads as well.
Cracks up here, you could do crack chasing.
Well, we've, over the years, we've done crack seal on a lot of the joints, and that's helped. But then some of the seams have just gotten, you know, they deteriorate over the years. It's been there for how many years now?
Almost 20.
Yeah. And so.
That's been, I'll tell you what, overall, it's been, as long as we keep maintaining it to that level, it really is functional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do that. You know, like you seal a concrete driveway. Is there any product out there that you can
pull in the whole scale, the whole surface of the road?
Yeah, that's a good question. None of the contractors I were talking about.
Close a road and spray something?
Yeah, that was never done. We've done on asphalt roads, that's the Reclamite. Right? Now, that's kind of, but it dries up and is able to go to concrete roads. I don't think we've ever done anything like that.
Well, a lot of the deterioration isn't on the whole surface, but it's where the seams are.
Yeah.
And that's where the water crawls in and starts beating them up. And that's where, and sometimes you see the asphalt stripes, you know, one each concrete.
But there's, for the most part, as long as we keep, you know, keep taking care of those minor issues, there's some utility issues, catch basins, and there's some manholes and some, utility coverage like water boxes, things like that, that is deteriorating. But for the most part, that's very, as long as we stay at it, I think we're going to be in good shape for a few more years.
And not let it get too big.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Got to keep it tight.
We have to
keep up.
Can they do that in off hours on weekends or a lot of the maintenance items? That,
oh, yeah. I think
that's really important.
Oh, yeah. I think that was part of the MOT. Maintenance traffic items on this bid was that it had to be, we typically would do it on a weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
Let them work late overnight into Friday, rip it out, prep and setting up forms, and then pour it Saturday, but hire early. So that late in the day, Sunday, over Monday morning. Yeah.
That seems good. I don't hear a lot of complaints if you do it that way.
Yeah, it works out good. It's very weather dependent.
Right.
You got to rely on the forecast. But
if we play that out and we do this preventative maintenance and routine repairs for, say, another 20 years, and Rockside eventually gets to the point of needing to rebuild them, is that on our dime? Is that on the county's dime? Is that on the state's? Is it a combination? Who's going to be responsible? Because that is going to be a mega project. Because you've got a lot of lane miles there.
It's all the above, I think. It would be eligible for grant funding. It's such a major county route. And keep in mind, after so many years, you know, the next logical treatment is resurfacing. You know, that's only the concrete. So you'll catch It's going to be an ancient life. Well, so it's going to be out of ways, I think.
Because you've been doing asphalt overlay over that. You've got 16 lanes, turning lanes, there's a lot of lanes there.
Oh, yeah, so even that would be eligible, I think, for some grants.
And how thick is the concrete on Roxanne?
We've been at 12 acres.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. But it's held up good.
Don, here's one comment related to the asphalt project and some of the other things. Mm-hmm. This year, because we got off to a late start, and then we complicated things by needing to switch some things. So it would be my point to suggest that we make sure we meet early, and we make sure the primary contracts are the ones that we focus on. Because I noticed, as we looked at the alternate bids of Reiniac for some of these, their prices were higher than the alternate bids from some of the competitors. So because we did a switch, it ended up costing us more. So, I would just mention that we make sure we get our heads together on the same page real early in the season so that we don't end up accepting a primary bid from a company whose alternate bids are ultimately higher. So it costs us money, and I don't think Bird likes that.
Well, I think this year they were the low bidder on the base, and all the work we did was unit pricing out of the base, so I don't know that we lost money this year. But I see what you mean. You can look and see the alternates. I think they were a little bit higher than most of the others.
So you're saying that it came from the base cost price and not the alternate cost price?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was our understanding and our agreement when we told them we would make them whole on $1 million was to honor those unit prices so that, because that's why they were able to give it to us for good price, and they were looking to do a lot of work in short areas where they can make the most efficiency out of their operations. And by and large, giving them those major roads, they were able to do that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And originally it was in Stone, where we were just going to do partial.
Yeah, like that was an alternate, actually.
Yeah.
Just for sections, though. Sections. Like two or three major sections.
Much better the way that it worked out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we'll have to revisit that over the winter and, try to get dialed in on what we want to do. And I would love not to have to bid it again to try to extend their contract either another year or at least get the rest of the money.
Because right now it's in our favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ronnie, I did some really, really good work.
Yeah,
so,
and quickly. They did, they don't mess around. Get on their schedule. So the next part here, we want to talk about some of the engineering that we've gone through and are ready to share with you about a couple projects here. This was a screen from the prior. These were some engineering design dollars. We updated the construction costs. I believe initially that $2 million was $1.1. CMT did a preliminary estimate. They were at $1.5. I pushed up another $500,000 just because of inflation and not wanting to be low. So that's up to $2 million now, as of right now. And Longano similarly was, I think, started at 2.1 or 2.2, and we've increased that just to try to be accurate and high relative to inflation. So preliminary engineering has been completed on Cleaver. We've gone through, we tried to see what it would take to get sidewalks on both sides of Cleaver, but it's such a narrow right-of-way. We were going to devastate the trees, and we fell back to, we think we can accommodate a sidewalk on one side, which would be the south side, with minimal tree removals and try and able to stay within the right-of-way primarily. So the roadway will be widened to meet our residential standard. It's currently 23 feet. It's going to be pushed out to 26 feet. So that would meet our standard of 26 feet of a residential concrete road. We're going to try to design a cul-de-sac at the very end of the street, and primarily on Dallet property. It's the vacant land at the very end of the road. It's sitting there doing not much of anything, and we're going to try to reach out to Dallet and see if they can give us an easement to do that. Two different versions. This is a T-type turnaround. If for some reason the cul-de-sac is too much for them to agree to, but we would prefer the cul-de-sac.
Talking about a solid cul-de-sac. You're not talking about one with something in the middle they have to work around.
No,
aisles. Solid.
No, correct. It's just full pavement. So that's where we're at with this one. So we wanted to just, we're going along, have any questions?
Before you leave, the sidewalk, where are you anticipating that going to be? Right up, tucked up next to the road?
We're looking at a 3-foot tree lawn. So it's kind of more towards the minimum. We've gone to 30 inches. 3 feet is.
No place to hide the snow.
Yeah, or the garbage cans.
That's.
So 3 feet is about, 3 feet works, yeah. And it helps us still have, you see, 5.5 feet still to grade out and stay within the right of way. There are some areas that we do need to chase out of the right of way, but not a lot.
And you said a 5-foot sidewalk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we'd like to go 6, but in such a narrow right of way.
So at one point, there was a discussion of, and now having seen this with the 5-foot sidewalk, I think it probably answers the question relative to a wider pavement, no sidewalk, and would use part of the pavement to walk on, driving pavement. So I don't know if that's even a point of consideration or discussion at this point, because it sounds to me, it looks to me like the 5-foot sidewalk will work. And we're picking up 3 feet of pavement in the road.
Right. Yeah, I feel comfortable with this. It would be a little bit non-traditional to have a wider, and it would be almost feel like people's Nesky Parkway, like we got a stripe, then a little 5 or 6 foot rock along the red elevation, feel like that. So it could be done.
It's just half road. Shaft Road is not a residential area, and you want to have the distinct sidewalk. So
yeah, or just know up front it's going to be a little bit atypical. I'm not saying it can't be done, but people would just have to know that up front.
And the grass, I the big word is grass, 3-foot area.
Correct. Yeah, on the one side, and then it'll be all lawn, just like it is right now on the north side. Feel no different. And one of the other reasons, the pole line is on the north side, so that was another reason that was challenging to fit the sidewalks without moving them real close to the street or pushing them well back up into people's front yards. There's one house that sits extremely close to the street, and I think they would have felt like it was in their front, on their porch sidewalk. So the south side seems to be able to accommodate it better.
Same tree situation. In other words, offering a tree if we need to replace them, but it'll be in the property of the individual.
Oh yeah, we wouldn't put it in a 3-foot tree lawn. We'd put it behind the sidewalk, and even outside the right of way, we'd even entertain that, because even the right of way is narrow. So
right.
There's room, and people want them outside even the right of way. That'd be fine by us. Yeah, we'll have the same MO in terms of that, offering trees.
Right, and again, alternate or take another look, a new look at some of the tree options that we have that be more towards the native species.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely need to take a look at that. You could bring in the tree commission to make some suggestions of species.
Mm-hmm.
And according to my arborist, he said if we order them early enough or able to select any potential trees early enough, you get healthier stock. So for what that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
So with what the mayor mentioned about instead of a sidewalk, the walking, you make the road wider. Is that something you want to run by the people who live on the street? Would you rather have a slightly even wider street and forego the sidewalks? A cheaper cost, and you don't have to perform all them sidewalks. You're just forming a wider street.
Yeah, but once a week, you got a problem. Then what do you do with the garbage can?
And you still have people parking on the street, so you probably have to put it on the non-parking side, which is what the non-hydrant side. It's traditional.
If I remember, that conversation came about before we actually knew if we had enough room for a sidewalk.
Yes.
And so once it was determined, as Don's presented, that there is enough area for a 5-foot sidewalk, a 3-foot tree lawn, and we're going to expand the pavement to 26 feet, that pretty much negates the need to modify and create something different. I think that conversation centered on if we really didn't have enough right away, we didn't have enough pavement to be able to expand the pavement area, that we were going to have
to look at something different, but since we can get to 26 feet, which is our standard, I think it negates that, the need.
I'd be hesitant to try to, you know, many ask residents what their opinions are, and get it. You'll get varying opinions, and we'll never get this thing out to bid. That's what I fear I would have.
So once we bid it out, well, the next step would be to meet with the residents and document their nuances or their concerns like we always do, and then we'll ask them the questions about the trees, we'll ask them the questions about the operators and the contractor will work on, tell if they want to change their driveway, if they want to upgrade everything beyond the right of way, they'll take care of, similar to what we've done in the past, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Are we able to make some sort of arrangements with AAA across the street for parking and other issues? Because if you're tearing out that whole street, you can't park on my Brexel Road, so.
We'll have our $2.1 million municipal parking lot.
Yeah, but that's a, then you have to shut us too far.
Yeah.
That's far, unfortunately, even though it's there.
And we intend to do this half at a time, like we've done other roads that are concrete, we do half, and keep people that kind of share on the other side of the street, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But it's concrete for the.
Yeah, we bid it, or we're going to, you know, because the bids have been coming in so good here recently with concrete being almost even cheaper than our asphalt. And it just lends itself.
That is a question, concrete or asphalt?
Prices have started to come down, and I wonder if asphalt's going to start to become more competitively priced with concrete.
From a constructability standpoint, it's nice with the concrete because you got very defined edges with the slip corner, and it's very true and 90 degrees versus asphalt.
Yeah, John, if you could build a cul-de-sac at the end, you could use that for parking then, if you built that.
Or base it in for the street, yeah.
That's fair. You could have that, but people could park down there then.
Mm-hmm. I have, like at Grandview, there's not much of a tree lawn at Grandview, so this is a little bit wider than.
Grandview has, I think we had one, one side was wider than the one on the other. I think your side was a little bit narrow.
It's narrow, on the south side, on the south side.
Well, south side's a little bit narrower.
I think so, yeah.
Third floor, I think, up there.
And then over on Cereal, that there is no tree lawn, is there? Doesn't the sidewalk go right up?
It used to. I think we snuck.
We did. You snuck inside. I see.
2 or 3 foot grass stripping.
Yeah. Yeah.
That probably softens it.
Yeah.
Just being right though, it used to be right up to it.
Yeah. Yeah. The old one.
That was the one should be all concrete. It looked like a maze of concrete. So. Mm-hmm.
And Don, with this at 26 feet, what the Cherry Homoga Greenwood development? What are the width of those roads?
They're probably 22 or 23. They might even be narrower than we are. Yeah, they're extremely narrow.
I was wondering about that. I know that with the 26 minimum, and I guess, you know, we said Meadowbrook, and I know when you drive Cleaver, it's narrow, but is there a 24 or 25 foot wide street? I mean, just.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of those. We have a bunch of streets.
I don't know if you would know, you know, driving on it, but.
Well, you wouldn't know a foot.
Yeah.
What is 24? It's a 26, but you'd know 22?
Yeah.
No, it's 22 compared to 26.
Yeah, those streets over here are very narrow.
Awesome. Yeah,
I think the east-west Homoga and Greenwood, I feel like a little bit wider than the north-south. The Cherry is extremely, I think, tighter than the other east-west. You know, probably Hemlock too. Hemlock feels kind of narrow. Yeah. So it runs the gamut.
On the on the side, that'll get the sidewalks, so we'll have to eliminate a lot of trees, or is it barely?
Yeah, we try to keep it to a minimum. There's a couple that were unavoidable, but in the first version, when we try to get them on both sides and increase the width of the tree lawns, it almost blew every tree out of the road. Yeah. 20 trees had to go, and some of them are 3-4 footer diameter trees. These are big.
There's some big ones in them. I get it. These ones are a little closer to the street than in other streets, but. If a property owner is willing to give us the right of way to go around and save a tree, are we open to that?
Yeah, as long as we can make the design work. Yeah. I don't know that that's the scenario out here. I don't recall feeling or seeing that.
Well, we have a couple of sites. You're talking about like at Lafayette? Like Lafayette, top of Lafayette, where they put the curb right up against it.
I've just seen other communities where they're winding the sidewalks instead of just making them bullet straight and taking out every tree in the way. They're trying to work with the trees, and it kind of makes for a scenic appealing roadway when you're driving down instead of just a straight sidewalk, especially if you're able to retain a few mature trees. That's kind of what makes these mature neighborhoods is those mature trees.
Yeah, I think that these couple pines right here, those are kind of close, but pine trees are, yeah, those pines.
That's metal woods, isn't it?
But we would be open to that.
So the homeowner is amenable to it, I get it, those are closer to the street there.
We got Midland, there's sidewalk that kind of walks around it.
Yeah.
You know, there's one on Highland too, but that's weird because one side scoops in, but the other side is still straight.
Oh, yeah, I got you. It's to this, it's.
Yeah, it's just less narrow, avoid the roots. It's very weird.
So that's Cleveland.
Put a water line in there.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's, in fact, speaking of utilities, so initially we reached out to Dominion thinking that there would be a nice opportunity for them to replace the gas main. Initially they told us no, which we were disappointed, but we were just going to push forward. And then when they received the plans, something they reviewed triggered them to think, we think, so now they're going to replace the gas main and the services. It may add a little hiccup or throw a little wrench into our contractor's schedule, but we're going to try to coordinate it and make it so that it's, when they did such a short road and they bore those gas mains, it's probably a week's worth of work to put the gas main in. And so that's a nice, I think a nice improvement to be able to say, we're coming in here and a lot of those utilities will be upgraded and we shouldn't have to be out here for another 50 years then, so. Sanitary and storm, we did televise everything and anything that is problematic or we feel needs to be addressed, we're going to incorporate it into the bid, either with point repairs or lining. But by and large, what we've seen so far has been pretty good. Yeah.
You said initially we're looking at about 1.1, then elevated it to 1.5. And then you said you put in some, put it more towards 2 million. And I guess my question related to that is, does the contractor know that we have that number? And is the contractor then more likely to take advantage of what we have budgeted or not?
No, these are just internal numbers. We don't share the numbers. In fact, we have an ordinance that says the engineer's estimate isn't to be shared until after the bids are open. That's actually in our ordinance.
Okay, good.
That's not, I've never seen that in any other city. But normally we put it right in the advertisement. But not here, we do not.
Right, right. Because I know in the past when you talk about engineering a project, you talk about, here's the project, a certain percent of it is allowed for engineering, basically, so you know if the engineering cost is where it should be. But
right.
I'm pleased that the numbers you have are ones that are not accessible to the contractors when they're trying to bid.
Yeah, but for them trying to request our 5-year capital plans, they would see numbers, but nobody's
going to that extent.
No. Okay. And I've been told by contractors, they don't care what your number is. They're bidding it the way they see it.
They wouldn't be competitive.
Right. So a lot of times they'll reach out to us and say, hey, listen, I don't know what you're looking at, but we're looking at
a certain number,
and they're saying you might want to revisit your estimate because else they might not even bid it. If you're way low and they know you got to throw it out if it's 10% over the estimate, they won't even bid. So there's some trade-offs. There's pros and cons probably both ways. So that's where we'll give CMT direction to finalize those plans as they've got them and move forward and try to get that thing all wrapped up.
Have they gone to bid?
I got to revisit CMT. I think early in January or February. It was there in the next month or two after the holiday. Try to bid this thing. It's already at Cleveland Water getting reviewed. So we don't normally let that hold us up on bidding it. Normally those approvals come while you're getting everything lined up for construction. So.
Where's the water main in that situation? Is it actually in the middle of the roadway? Or?
The existing one, yeah, you can see that all the repairs are, I think, along the north curb and gutter line. So I think we were proposing to put it, let's see if they put that in there. And I thought maybe they had a typical, so I think it was going to go either in the north tree line, in the north, behind the curb to the north, or if they have to move it south of the existing main, keep it in the northerly lane, like Lafayette was in the road,
right
in the center of the. So it, we don't, I don't think it's been determined yet.
So we don't really have a rock issue.
It might be shown in here.
It's a little south of the utility poles?
Yeah, right, one side or the other, because the utility poles, they gotta stay. So I think we were pushing in the north tree line, but south of the poles maybe.
Right.
It's gotta be so many feet away, minimum of 3 or 4 feet from the existing one. And you gotta be so many feet from storm and sanitary, so you start to get boxed in to permissible locations.
But the bedrock's not an issue?
No, we took borers, so borings and the rock, I don't think we had any rock issues.
Okay.
Okay, so Longano, picking through some of the here too, no problem. Here we think we can fit sidewalks on both sides of the street. In conversations with Cornerstone, we feel like we need 2 lanes out and 1 lane in to accommodate some peak traffic events. And we do have a design for a median to accent the subdivision, create some landscaping opportunities and a potential subdivision sign here, but still have 2 lanes, a left turn and a right turn here. So we're gonna probably give Cornerstone an access curb cut on Longana, which they don't presently have, and that'll be just a much safer, controlled under a traffic signal controlled intersection versus right now coming and going off just the driveway north of the intersection.
We talked to Cornerstone about that when he came to in front of Planning Commission, and would they be amenable? And he said they would be as far as their side of the. Because don't they have the north?
They bought that property.
Yeah.
Reco.
Right. And I thought, they'd be amenable to what the city would want.
Yeah, in fact, this represents that we do need some real estate from them. Right here is the right of way presently, and to make this fit, we think we need another 16 feet of right of way, either an easement or a flat out dedicated right of way.
And that would be from Cornerstone.
Right. So we're still working through those details, but this is preliminarily what we think would work.
Because when Correco had it, was definitely a buildable lot, but now that it's absorbed.
Well, I don't know if it was a buildable
lot. Yeah, it was very tight,
but legally a buildable
lot. It was a lot of record.
It was a lot of record.
Yeah, it was. You'd be challenged to build anything significant there. So yeah, we think we can fit the sidewalks in. They're going to be asymmetrical tree long widths just because of the poles, but that's not uncommon. We've got streets like Breton has like an 8 or 9 foot tree long on the south side and a 2 or 3 foot on the north. So it happens. Try to avoid pole relocations. And then at the end of the street, we're playing around with.
Yeah, can you go back to the previous slide? Mm-hmm. The turn for
the 90 degree.
Do we have you designing any additional width in that corner, or is it standard? You're 26 feet. Or does it make any sense to make a radius, change the radius, soften the radius?
The ground radius should be considered to be wider than the asphalt pavement of the straightaway.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because I know you can't on the east side, but on the west side, that corner, I'd certainly look at
inside or the outside.
Inside. I would definitely look at the inside.
Okay. Well, here again with a narrow right of way. I mean.
Yeah, well, if you could look if they have to take some of that right away. And kind of the house sits back quite a bit. I don't know if it would.
Oh, this is going to loop.
Yeah.
The driveway does right. Sit back.
Loop to loop in the corner, if they would accommodate and get a little more pavement. If we had to do some landscaping to soften that to offset that, might be an opportunity for them and us.
Okay. We could look into that. Yeah, presently we weren't looking at that. But
yeah, it's not the same I would look at. You can't go on the east side because there's 2 driveways right alongside of that, so you'd be adversely impacting that radius completely. But on the west side, the inside loop would be something I would certainly look at. Even if it's a foot or two.
Which is the cost?
Family member of the house, I believe.
I think we did something similar at in the Lafayette subdivision at
yes, we did, yes.
Right at Laurel. At the Laurel.
It's not pronounced, but it's easier for our trucks to
a little more
with the plow, with the cars coming, just gives us a little more flexibility.
Okay.
You redo Wood and Elwood someday, gotta consider.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthony, John, Chris, you know, when you're picking the outside and there's a car on the inside, both of them kind of stop because they're hesitant to both use the turn at the corner at the same time of the turn.
It's usually have to listen.
Same with that, see?
That's a perfect example of a pronounced, more pronounced town.
Yeah, this one will have.
This one still, I think every time we put us 90 or something like that, we see if we can soften that a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Just easier for trucks with plows.
But you guys going through there like on three wheels. I mean, I had a nice slow.
Plenty of pavement.
Yeah, well, those city emergencies.
And John, we'll say three wheels, we've seen two wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a flock camera up there to see if those people abuse it.
We had to do something at the park too, when the original house was designed.
Well, we had to move that wide map.
Yeah, why is that?
That had a quick hard 90.
Yeah, it was.
That, this isn't gonna work.
Yeah. And these guys got their big rigs that are.
Well, yeah.
They all drive and they take up three quarters.
And they put a plow on the front and it just continues. It just really tough to navigate that when those guys.
I gotta go on a sidewalk when I make a turn. Especially by your street.
Yeah.
This existing cul-de-sac is also deficient in size, so we are proposing make it more traditional, expand it, make it more usable and eliminate that center donut that's coming out of there.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten calls about that.
Yeah.
How it looks and.
Whose property is down there? Is that the existing homeowners there?
We can fit the new, this, so there's a nice, here's the existing and the faint dash line, and we're just gonna offset the cul-de-sac a little bit. We've got right of way. And then, we think we can fit sidewalks in on both sides. In fact, although this side, we need an easement.
But there's no, I don't see reason to put sidewalks on the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, so we can do this. There's another treatment like this where we don't, spend the money, terminate them in a cost.
There's not a lot of traffic.
If you did on Brent.
Do we know what the reason?
We did it on Ramley.
Oakwood, yeah.
Ramley, Oakwood.
Yeah, what was the meaning behind putting the little islands in the center of those?
Aesthetics.
Yeah.
All I had is about people parking out.
Well, yeah, on 21 too.
Yeah. I mean, I know the one on Dale Brook, they're complaining about parking on it and some of them.
If it's temporary, you know, event, you know, I don't really get the complaints, but if it's people making a habit of it, then you gotta go and notify and say, you can't do that.
And you'd have some terrain challenges, but I think in prior years, I've seen very preliminary proposals to not put a cul-de-sac there and continue on north and then make a left to go west and tie it into Cleaver Court.
Yeah, there's some serious topography.
Serious topography.
Zip line, you'd have to zip line down.
You'll be the first one, you're on the zip line.
Hey, if you've been to San Francisco, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true.
They develop on hills, you'll get a sense of not quite.
San Francisco snows a lot there, doesn't it? Every other day.
I don't know about as far going, you know, north, but if there's one house there on the lot, are utilities adequate?
Oh, you mean like at this right here at the north, very north?
Yeah.
To put a.
Yeah, I mean, if there was,
does look like we have a little bit of right of way that peels off to the north there.
Yeah, I think one lot.
Is Dallas piece there?
Yes, this is Dallas too.
They own that too. They own every Dallas, Logano.
I think Joe wanted to maybe.
Clear the sunset.
It's not an album.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't seriously going to idea.
Till, they started building across the river, it's kind of screwed up.
But yeah, there should be.
Take that big garage down, their house over there.
Yeah, I don't know if we could accommodate connections for that, any sort of building there. The sand, looks like the sanitary manhole stops here unless there's a connection that shoots off in this direction.
Well, if they.
Water main is gonna hold.
Extend the utilities.
Yeah, that would be something.
On Oakwood, did you put the, for the utilities down River, I know the, on Oakwood at the end, didn't they have, they were kind of, they didn't want a cul-de-sac back there, I think.
Yeah, we did a little winding.
Can they build a whole lot?
No.
Yeah, well, I know that at the very end, I thought maybe
a sanitary coming from a new subdivision airborne across the creek. You know that?
Yeah, that's.
Kids go around there, but they could call it a lot.
So the last version here we were looking at is just to not secure an easement here, just take the sidewalk on one side and maybe terminate it at the apron here, but.
What if that happens?
Well, it just avoids having a secure easement. It would just, if this, you know, a lot of people like to come down the driveway and jump on a sidewalk, so that would, you know, versus here, you know, these residents.
So it's a walk across the cul-de-sac, that's plowed or whatever, to get to the sidewalk, I think they'd be better off just doing that.
Yeah, yeah, that's why we designed it, so to see what it looks like and we'll open it all.
So you're gonna widen the cul-de-sac?
Yes, totally.
So that we can accommodate the trucks and make it easier for, okay.
It's still nowhere close to our current standard with 100, it's a 50-foot radius.
But it's still better than what we have.
That's correct, and it's what we feel is the minimum needed that, like, serial. Serial is just adequate enough, and it's, I think it's this radius, 38.
Proposed.
This proposed is meeting the serial, and oval is another one, oval drive is meets this minimum.
So there's a driveway on the right, is that a driveway on the left, upper left too?
Correct.
So, Chris asked, there won't be any decorative island in the middle, this will be pavement from curb to curb. Where does Ron's crew push the snow then, on when you have driveways on the cul-de-sac?
Between the two driveways, straight ahead.
Shoot, that's like 10 feet of that.
Same place he's been pushing it all these years, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that they push the island, maybe they do, but it's not a big island, so you couldn't get much snow there anyway, so.
And that's gonna be, is that 19 feet it's going towards that house there?
I'm not sure where you see 19. We're trying, so if you notice, we tried to hug, we were sensitive to this house, it's extremely close.
Right.
So we were not wanting to push this curb closer to the house, so we matched, pretty much matched the closest point, yeah. And all the widening occurs on this other side, because this house sits back.
Way back.
Yeah. So, and where it's all in the right way.
Right.
So, we were trying to be sensitive to that. Where did you see 19?
You raised that, just go straight up, that number right there, what is that?
I don't know if it says 19 or 16, that's just a dimension from the curb to the right way. It's pretty consistent with what's there now. So we're not proposing, I don't know why they detailed that out, just to show you.
How far, which way would we go?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're just bumping them.
Is it Cahill or is Cahill not there in the?
Cahill's the next one.
The one south.
So it sounds like we agree that we're gonna come up just short of the cul-de-sac with the sidewalk. That seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, that works for me. There's a utility pole. See it. Yeah, we're going to avoid, and if we have to narrow up this tree lawn right here from, what does that say, 5 or 6 feet to avoid the pole, we'll do that. So here on this side, the poles are all falling in the tree lawn. So
5 foot sidewalks?
Yes, 5 foot sidewalks. So I think that was it. So we'll be able to now inform our designers that we can know what our directions are and we can push these things through and get them wrapped up and finalizing them out. Yeah.
Same timetable on this one from engineering standpoint?
This one's lagging a little bit because of some of the work up at the intersection, and but general, and it's a little bit longer, but we'll try to get them moving.
You didn't mention price point yet.
How much more? Is it $1 million more?
This one was, yeah, it was every bit of a million.
This one was $2 million.
Well, this one was actually
$3 million.
But I think in our 5-year plan, I think we were on with Cleaver. Cleaver actually had a couple million. So we were heavy on Cleaver, but I think we were light. So between the two of them, I think we were.
No, between the two, we've got 5.3.
Right. Really?
Well, I said, you were telling me.
Is this a new water line that you're going to be with?
Both, yeah. Both streets have new water bodies, but both, I believe, we're going to try to, storm sewers are in decent shape, or whatever's needed, we're going to
included in the project.
So you do the same thing with the task force, hearing this to be?
Yeah, I think same thing. Dominion initially told us Longano, they weren't interested, or maybe they'll have a change of heart as well.
So the question is, we've got three options, really, to accept Cleaver, Dominion, to accept Longano, or accept them both. And it could be done, we could bid out Cleaver, and then we'd be able to also, it's a later date, bid out Longano, and, or we can bid them both out and still be flexible. The way we're going to bid it is, it could be one, it could be both. There's no guarantees. It'll be up to council to decide to what extent they want to put this together. Now, talking with some of the residents on Longano, they don't care if it's a 23 or a 24 construction. I don't think they want to get into a cross-pollinated timetable with a 23 and 24, other than cleanup landscaping, just the superficial, the surface treatment things. The other concern is the talking to one of the residents on Saturday. The other thing I think we want to look at is the Rexville Road area that this ties into. When from the, if we were looking at continuing the project from the first phase south of 480, going towards Rockside, we've just secured, is there any more on this? Because I'll just blend into the next conversation, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to preempt anything.
That's fine. Are you set with this?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay.
So then the next thing would be to look at Route 21, extending the upgraded area to Rockside Road, and a couple things we need to look at. Those are currently 11-foot width payments, I believe, Dan?
Lanes. Yeah, like 11-foot lanes.
And the state requirement today is 12, and it is pretty narrow in there when you're going through truck traffic. So one of the things that we've talked about is we met with Eric Chalsky, and he asked if we said we'd get appraisals on the houses. So we got the appraisal of those two houses, the floor house and the Chalsky house, and to see what it made sense, because we're going to need a couple feet of right of way. And he asked, well, why don't you just get appraised? So the question is, do we, there's three or four different issues I'm kind of trying to pull them together. We've got the engineering, that's engineering for that area from Rockside Woods North coming south. And the question is, do we want to change the radius on the inside to accommodate that extra foot of lane pavement? So 2 feet of minimum additional pavement before curb and gutter. So that's the first question we have to ask ourselves. And in order to determine that, we figure out what the cost is and what's going to cost to in terms of acquiring right away to be able to use that property. So
these are two houses on the west,
real close.
West side.
Yeah, west side. Because the radius, it kind of cleans up going that way anyway, between Vista Springs and
yes, I think the sidewalk ends.
Yeah. There's a, well, there's a sidewalk, yeah. But I mean, it's just, it's pretty tight. And so we can just take the couple feet we need, and then you have to create some type of protection for those houses. But realistically, if we're going to do something more permanent, it's my recommendation that we do at least a 12-foot minimum pavement, because it's so much safer where we did the Rockside Woods North tie in to all the way to Cleaver. So we'll have Cleaver, north end of Rexville Road. Eventually we'll have Longano moving south. And so I'd like to get some direction from council. It doesn't have to be today, but we would like to, because the engineer's still trying to draw down on that, right, Don?
Yeah, we told them preliminarily we wanted, our goal was to achieve and meet the minimum standards.
So there was an engineer that's been authorized to do the work.
to engineering. Just now we have to make some decisions in terms of, do we want to expand the road? And do we want to do it as part of this project, upgrading the that area? Still be the same landscape features, the same width, but I think everyone sees what the difference is having that wider, safer area between the Rockside Woods and 480 now.
Yeah. And isn't the engineering done for that section from Rockside all the way to...
So what we kind of took a time out to get the piece built for the AAA, the new road and the intersection there. And then now we're circling back to finalize. We're kind of got a north, the north end of the bridge. It's kind of not going to be too much of a focus point, but for sure south. So from Rockside to where we terminated that project, which is just north of Longano, actually.
Right.
So, so yeah, we're at a point where we're, now we can get back to that, finalize the design. It's going to be right-of-way takes or utility relocations, just like there was with that first project.
Mm-hmm. Remind us again, they're on the west, on the furthest west lanes. That was some patchwork done by Dominion.
Right. Yes.
And it was always going to be,
yeah, it was
going to be completely again, but there's still some utility work to do, or this could, this would be, this would part of the thing.
We have a major water line replacement with, is part of that Drexel project, so we got to build, place the water main there. Okay, and then we think we might need to still do some gas main relocations. AT&T is like, everybody who could possibly be out there is out there, and it's in the condensed area, so it's going to be major relocation.
So there's still a lot of utility work yet to do
in the in this section from Rockside to where we terminated.
But today the question is what's the appetite for council to widen that road? We're taking steps to explore, examine that, but we, at some point in the near future, in order to move that forward, we're going to have to make a decision, just like making decisions today, how we're going to engineer those projects, Longano and Claybor, how we want to move forward. So this is one that, this is the next step going south. And so it really needs, we have to determine, are you comfortable leaving it the way it is, or should we expand in the most accommodating way to accomplish a long-term strategy of state spec lane accommodation. So think about that. We should make that decision early part of 2023, unless you're comfortable making it today. So, but I don't expect, we'll get the drawings to everybody. Or if it's Mr. Chairman, we'll just have next meeting, we'll put it on the agenda so we can show the, we'd like to do that maybe sometime in January if that works for you.
Don, that sidewalk that was, we had a bunch of conversation about the sidewalk on the west side. As far as
which
the width
of this?
Of Drexel Road. From Rockside Woods North headed south. And we ended up with an extremely wide sidewalk. What's the width of the sidewalk at Rockside Woods North?
The one that we're going to build?
The one on the south side of Rockside Woods North coming toward Drexel Road. Do we have a sidewalk there?
It's on the north side.
The north side.
On the north side,
there's one. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
I think there's one on the south side.
Okay. So if some part of the conversation going back to there was the west side of Drexel Road, whether it was going to be a 10-foot, an 8-foot, or a 5-foot sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is, Rockside Woods North sidewalk, what's the width of the one that's on the north side of Rockside?
It's 8.
It's an 8.
Right. But at Embassy, it tied back into Embassy sidewalk, which was 5. And the one that we bid in this concrete contract for Katz is going to be a 5 or a 6. It wasn't 8.
Right. Well, that was part of the reason we went along with your question, is if we initially talked about a wider sidewalk, the need may not be there with the connectivity that we want, that if we're going to widen lanes, we should consider just a 5-foot sidewalk there. That, would that help solve the issue of how tight we push up to someone's property?
So we have, Drexel Road.
Yeah.
I don't know what the lane width on the for the road would have to do with the width of the sidewalk.
Only the right-of-way, existing right-of-way, that's where you have to. So that's the point about the whole question is, do we want to put ourselves in a position, have enough adequate right-of-way to, what's the width of the sidewalk in the, by North Brookside Woods North on Brecksville Road?
I believe it's 8.
Okay, so coming south on Brecksville Road, so we want to continue to 8, eventually all the way to Rockside.
Right.
As close as we can get to Rockside Corners. Because then we can always sneak around back if we ever wanted to create a loop around that way. Anybody that wants to use that.
Yep.
So that's the other reason for getting appraisals on this property, because if we're going to have additional width, additional sidewalk, kind of like would be in the front seat of their living room.
Well, and that's why I bring up the width of the sidewalk in those particular areas, because we talked between a 10 and an 8 and a normal 5, and supposedly the rules said if it was supposed to be in some area that potentially was commercial, it was supposed to be the wider sidewalk. But because of those two homes that are there, does it not make sense to revisit that width coming south?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why we got the
right. Well, that's why I'm bringing this up now. If we're potentially pushing out a couple feet of lane, then we can gain part of that back by going back to a 5-foot sidewalk.
Well, you're talking about buying those two houses.
Yeah, we're talking about.
If you tear the houses down, then you don't have to tell that on the sidewalk.
And there's no opportunity to bump the road wider on the east side.
You have. I think that's where the major utilities are on the east side of, at least in our discussion, I thought the water main or something, the utility poles and all of that was in that area. That's the challenge on that radius on the outside.
Cheaper to buy two houses and tear them down than move a few utility poles?
Might be. Yeah.
$1 million. And what is the curb to curb width in that stretch of road?
I believe it's 44.
So 11 times 4. I think it's right there.
And what's 40. The width of the new bridge that was just reconstructed? Curb to curb?
It's wider. Yeah, it was plenty wide. Yeah. I don't know. I could get you that, but it meets all the standards for sure.
And wider than 44.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Much wider.
And what did we make the road? What did we make the lanes in the new section?
Yeah,
before we funneled them back down? What?
I think at least 12. Yeah, I think that we met the standard in the stretch that we rebuilt or we widened.
What is the width of the curb bar?
Wow. Yeah, it might be minimal.
8, 9, 10. So there's nothing over 10.
No, I just bring it up because we're thinking long-term planning. And if there's a long-term strategy in place and we get the people to work with us for right away, I think we as a community want to do what we started. And the north end, we want to continue that same engineering going south.
So, we need any land from the old town farm that's
yeah, and I've talked to them. That's not an issue.
Yeah,
that would they accommodate us.
And the floors are aware of this.
I talked to the one daughter, and she said her brother. She wants to talk to me after the first year. About what their future is. We didn't even bring it up to them. So they brought it up. She brought it up to me at the remembrance. So I said, well, I know Raymond lives there. He said, well, who's Robert's responsible? She said, but I can facilitate a meeting. I said, after the first year, that's fine. We'll have the appraisals, we'll have everything so that we can, but really, there's no sense even going that down that route if, in fact, council doesn't want to go in that direction. So I just need to know, I'm not going to open that up, have that discussion if there's no interest. We're assembling all the information. And then ultimately, if you tell me to go ahead, then I get the meetings with them. Eric's was on site. We talked to him. He's the one that prompted the discussion. So we figured we'd actually get both appraisals done and then be in a position to have an intelligent discussion with council. But something that's going to have a long, a 30, 40, 50 year impact rather than a 5 year impact. Because this will be the way it's going to be. Whatever we decide will be the way it's going to be for 50 years.
Yeah.
So that's what I need to know.
Now, the new house going up under construction, is the setback bar enough so that if there's any sidewalk put in there, it's not going to encroach too close on their front one of their elevation?
I think that stretch, we actually have the 8 foot panel already, yeah, across the front.
Yeah, we're all set.
Just at the first, yeah, the first job.
So the goal would be that obviously the 12 foot width, the 8 foot sidewalks, the same landscape, same process that we already have existing. And that's what I need to know. Before we, I go any further with meetings, I need to have some direction from council. So
if there was ever a potential for some commercial on the west side, which seems like that's what I always thought, maybe you know, put some parcels together, then you'd require a median or something. So that's where I guess I'm thinking.
You mean the turn lane?
A turning lane.
Yeah, just like
that would have to happen at the time.
Yeah, that would have to happen at the time. And I don't know if it's in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's not in my tenure for sure. But I don't know. Someday.
I guess I think about that as far as like something big. And, to put a median in, if you knew where a project was going to go versus 2 feet now.
Realistically, it would probably be by Longano. We were going to create a turn lane to accommodate something on the west side because of that big piece that sits there where the church was going to build a school at one time. That, to me, that just, it could be a little bit off, but why? We're not going to let it be offset that much when we have a red light by Longano. So it'd be, to me, that's where it would emanate from if we were going to do something wider to be accommodating a future change in zoning or something. But that'll be a whole different discussion. But it's that's part of what we have to talk about. But I need to get those answers sometime in early January, a direction. I don't need an answer, I need to see a direction so that I can keep trying to put the information together so that the engineer can then. Because we're delaying another year before we get to really get into this. So I'm trying to tie it all to Longano, to 21, to move all that in a cohesive manner rather than piecemeal.
And probably north of the 480 bridge and everything, we'll just wait to see if there's any development there.
We're
on Old Rexall Road, and that, and there's no use making any plans.
No, that'll be, we're looking at right now, economic development is looking at, because we've been having some preliminary discussions, we're going to have more preliminary discussions with that people in that area, mm-hmm. one of the major stock owners, landowners, and we might have to come to council and get some authority for engineering, for infrastructure, permanent infrastructure upgrades. We're looking at wide paths to the canal. We're looking at metro parks, accommodation, towpath. We're looking at a lot of different there's all kinds of things that we're throwing on the wall. But that would be completely. The only thing we would do probably sooner rather than later with council would get some engineering money to design Playboy Air. And then we'd take that and see if we could come up with something to accommodate potential growth on the west side of that land being redistributed. And if the city's interested in putting its land in play, doing their infrastructure, a lot of different things. Do we create a 25, 30 acre site, a 15 acre site? I'm just picking numbers, but something that would give us more opportunity. That will be a discussion. I'm not sure where Jess is on that, but I think after the first year, we'll be able to come to council with something, a request for some engineering money, design money.
So Old Rexall Road would come to, or meet Rexall a little farther to the north then.
original.
Yes, yeah, and we still have to have some accommodation for all of that, but it doesn't, depends if they want to wipe out buildings or you want to, it depends on the magnitude and what the opportunities would be for the city, so. But that's something we'll present to, I know that Jess is working on getting someone on board that could give us a flavor rather than just an abstract of what we, like us talking about it. Give us something to discuss. Okay.
I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you very much.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now we can wish everybody a merry Christmas.
Recording stopped.
Sweet curve, I assume, for both Kleber and Longano.
Roker?
Roker, yeah.
Yeah, that's our standard in residential.
Okay. Well, I'm just